Luke chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 1, and we're going to be reading a portion of the Christmas story. And let's stand together for the reading of God's word. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." We've been talking, starting last week, talking about personalities of Christmas. Personalities of Christmas. And again, we're not talking about Santa Claus and Rudolph and people like that. We're talking about the true meaning of Christmas and talking about those persons that are part of the Christmas story. And last week we talked about Mary, and it's the message should be up on the website if you want to listen to it. But today we're going to be talking about the shepherds, as we think about personalities of Christmas. Now, we don't know how many shepherds there were. We don't know any of their names. But we do know that shepherds were common folks of that day. They were the regular working people. And we notice in the scripture that God made a very special announcement to the shepherds the night that Jesus was born into this world. And so notice there in the scripture in Luke chapter 2, we'll pick it up here now in verse 7. It says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." When Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem after traveling the 85-mile journey from their hometown of Nazareth, as they come to Bethlehem, they find that the city is just bustling with people. And many people had come, just like Joseph had, to register, to pay their taxes in their hometown. And that was what was required. And so Joseph and his espoused wife, you notice that in verse 5, it says he was to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. That's like engaged, like we would say today more so. And so they were not yet fully married. We understand here also very clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ was not Joseph's biological seed. He was not Joseph's biological child. He is a miracle conceived by the Holy Ghost in Mary's womb. And the Gospel of Matthew makes that very, very clear, and certainly there are other places in the Bible as well, but the Gospel of Matthew, the first two chapters, if you're thinking about reading the Christmas story over again, Matthew and Luke, the first two chapters of both books, really that is the bulk of the Christmas story. So I encourage you to take time to read through those things slowly and think about the story this Christmas. Take your own time to be doing that. God has given that. So that's Matthew and Luke. Those the first two chapters of both of those books. You'll find the record of Christ and the events surrounding that. So here we are in Luke chapter 2, and we see that Mary and Joseph have come to Bethlehem here and come on this long journey, and they are, Mary is great with child. They could find no place to stay. I mean, the town was full. The rooms were all booked at the inn, and but they found the stable where the other travelers would have left their donkeys. Here we have Mary and Joseph resting, and we have Jesus born in the stable. We notice that he was laid in a manger, verse 7 says. That is a feeding trough for the cattle, for the sheep, for the donkeys. And that little manger there was where Jesus was laid. That was his bed. But that night, there was something spectacular that took place. The Bible records it here, beginning in verse 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Shepherds. Now, I have just a little picture here. Maybe I'll share with you. And this is just an artist's idea. Here's some of the shepherds, and here they are, a little campfire out on the hillside. And you know, this is probably something they had done many, many, many nights, right? This was work. This was their job. Probably a nice time. I like campfires, and I like, you know, out in the cool air of the evening and all night. They slept out here. That was what they did. I mean, it was night after night to watch the sheep, to make sure everything was okay, to make sure there were no wolves coming and trying to. They didn't have fences and all that kind of stuff necessarily, and so they would be hands on, watching the sheep, guarding and protecting and caring for the sheep, making sure the sheep stayed together and that they didn't go running off, and so they would. They would be sitting out there, and I'm sure that it's like a night shift, you know, they needed to stay awake. Somebody needed to stay awake, you know. They weren't all gonna take a nap all night. They needed to be alert. And you know what? I wonder how many of them read the Old Testament scripture. You see, they didn't have the New Testament, but they did have the Old Testament. I wonder how many of them had a scroll, you know, rolled up. The scroll style rather than the book. How many of them had that stuffed in their shepherd's coat? And by the campfire, perhaps they took that out and they read from the prophets of Isaiah, of Jeremiah, of Joel, and they read how the Messiah was one day going to come. These were men. I want you to first of all understand, as we think about the shepherds, these were men who were conscious of God. They were men who were conscious of God. Think about that. Who were these shepherds? You know what? If these had been men who didn't care about God, they were just living through their life, not men of faith, if that's the kind of men they were, if the angel came and said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord," you know, they would have been like, I mean, it would have been like, huh? Like, you know, I didn't hear anything about that on, you know, YouTube. I mean, right? Right? They would have been, it wouldn't have made sense. But I want you to understand that these shepherds, though they were, you know, maybe not, they weren't the upper class, okay? They were just the regular working people. They were just, many of them, just making it by. But they were men who feared God. They were men who had a consciousness of God. And so let's notice here what happens. They're out there watching their sheep, verse 8. And the Bible says in verse 9, it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Can you imagine? I mean, this had never happened before. Never happened. And here they are, night after night, they've been out on the hillside taking care of the sheep. Quiet night. You know, the only thing they hear is the animals. They hear, you know, some wolves or whatever. And here it is. The night is filled with brightness. An angel appears. The Bible says the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were clearly afraid. They were afraid. This was terrifying. The Bible says that the angel spoke to them, verse 10, and the angel said, "Fear not, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy." I have a wonderful message for you. I have wonderful news, which shall be to all people. To all people. As the angel here, as God directed the angel to make this announcement to these regular working people, the shepherds, the announcement comes truly for all people, the rich, the poor, whatever the case, whatever the nationality. For all people. It says in verse 11, the angel continues, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," that's Bethlehem, "a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Christ means Messiah. Messiah the Lord. Wow. And the angel continues, verse 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." That was the sign. How to find this baby. I mean, Bethlehem had many houses. I mean, where would a baby be born, right? Probably in a quaint little house, right? But no, it says here, and then the angel announced to these shepherds that the baby is going to be found in a manger, wrapped in just very simple cloth, swaddling clothes, strips of cloth, and lying in a cattle's feeding trough. And then, with that announcement from the angel, then all of a sudden, the Bible says in verse 13, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Wow. These shepherds really had an amazing announcement, an amazing experience. And the Bible tells us that in verse 15, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." I want you to see that these were men who were conscious of God. Can I ask you a question? Are you conscious of God? Are you conscious of God? These were men who were men of faith. I think that they had read the scriptures. I believe it's likely that some of them had a scroll of one of the prophets or something like that, that they had there, and by that evening campfire, when they were sitting there relaxing, other than to watch the sheep, they had time and opportunity to think and to ponder and to look into the starry sky and think about God and to think about the prophets who had foretold the coming of the Savior of the world, the Messiah. These men were probably Jewish men, descendants of Abraham. They were men who probably obeyed God in bringing a sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. They sought God. These were men who took care of sheep. Some have suggested that these shepherds may have been temple shepherds. Now, we don't know that for sure. It's a possibility. In other words, shepherds that kept the sheep for the temple sacrifices. And here we have the announcement of the Lamb of God. You think about maybe these sheep that they were watching, that they were raising, were sheep that were going to go to the altar there at the temple, be killed, and their blood sprinkled over the mercy seat, looking forward to the Lamb of God that would come. Wow. I don't know that for sure, but it's very possible. At any rate, God chose to make this very special and unique announcement to these men here on the hillside. And so, men conscious of God. I want you to go to the book of Hebrews. Don't lose your place here in Luke. But Hebrews, that's just a little farther to the back of the Bible, almost halfway between where you're at and the end of the Bible. You'll find the book of Hebrews. And let's go to chapter 11. Chapter 11 and verse 6. Chapter 11 and verse 6. The Bible says, "But without faith," notice this, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." It's impossible to please God without faith, the Bible says. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you a man or a woman of faith? I think the shepherds were. They were seeking God. These were not perfect men by any means. They needed the Savior. They were sinners. They had their faults and failures. But they were men who had a fear of God, a consciousness of God, a faith. And God says that without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, we will not see God. But with faith, we can come to God. We can see him do a work in our lives. Are you seeking God? What is God up to in our world today? Does God have any prophecies yet not fulfilled? Is God still working in our world? Oh, absolutely, he is. The Bible tells us through and through that God is working and that his timetable, the things he's got in store, are on schedule. They're on schedule. He is working. Just like 2,000 years ago, before Jesus had come, before Jesus had given his life for our sins, it was God's plan. And now that Jesus has come, and now we look back and we say, wow, there he gave his life for us on the cross. There he took our sin, as the Bible records. He took our sin upon himself. But you know what? The Bible tells us that he is coming again. He is coming again. And the Bible says, and when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? You know, we're just a few this morning. And I certainly wish there were more. I certainly wish it was a full house. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, God is not looking for, God works with individuals, right? With regular people, the shepherds, simple people. Let me show you a few scriptures here. I want to go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, thinking about God at work and God's timetable. Galatians is between Luke and Hebrews. Let's notice verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come," notice that. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Wow. In the fullness of the time. Let's think about that for a moment. In the fullness of the time, verse 4 says. In other words, when God's timetable was just right, when he, on schedule, Jesus came. On schedule, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus came and Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. He fulfilled the law so that we who have broken the law might be saved. That's the wonderful story of redemption, that we can be saved because Jesus paid the price. Notice verse 5. It says, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Adoption is the legal placement of a child, right? The legal placement of a child. In other words, it takes a child here who's not in this family, and it brings that child legally in every way and puts it into that family. That family, that child has the legal standing of an adult child, right? As of an adult son or daughter. That child is given, he's heir, right, to everything of that family. He's got all the rights of that family. And that's what God is talking about. We were lost. We were separated from God. We were under the law, and we were bound in sin. And God, through Jesus, paid the price for us, and he redeemed us. That's to pay the price, to bring out, to purchase. He purchased us with his life, with his blood, so that he could place us in his family. You see, in a sense, we're all God's children because we're created by God. But you know what? We're all headed to hell because of our sin. We have sinned against God and we deserve God's judgment. And so we are all alienated from God. But Jesus came to pay the price, to deliver us from sin and from damnation, and to place us by adoption into his family, so that we have a standing, so that we are his child, that we can go to live in his home, which is called heaven. You see, this is the message Christmas, this is the message of Christ, and we see that God was working. And this is the wonderful announcement that God brought to the shepherds that night. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior who came to save his people from their sin. That sure is a blessing. Can I ask you, are you conscious of God? We can see the shepherds were conscious of God. Now, we're going to cruise along to think about another aspect of the shepherds here in Luke chapter 2. I want you to notice here, verse 15 once again. The Bible says, and it came to pass, Luke chapter 2, verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Wow. I want you to see not only that they were conscious of God, they recognized that God was at work. These were men of faith, God-fearing men. But I want you to see also that they were responsive to God. They were responsive to God. Are you? Am I? They might have been several miles from Bethlehem. It might have been a bit of a journey. Some of them probably stayed back to watch the sheep, and the others went in to town to look. Perhaps they exchanged so that they all could go. I don't know how the Bible doesn't say. Maybe the sheep were fine. Maybe that was okay to leave them for a little while when it was a peaceful night. I don't know what the situation was, but I do see that the shepherds responded to God, to the announcement of the angels. They went and they searched diligently in Bethlehem. I don't know how many stables there were. I mean, stables were probably almost as common as garages are in our day, right? I mean, everybody had a stable, right? If you had a donkey, you had a stable. A little barn out back, a little place to keep your livestock, even though you lived in town, because that was common. And so there were a lot of stables. And so I'm sure they had to journey up and down a number of streets, through some back alleys, check out some places. And it took them a little searching. But they found. They found, perhaps they heard the little cry of a baby. They thought, down that alley. Maybe they saw some light flickering from a window in a barn. Maybe they heard some pleasant sounds from some sheep and some donkeys. I don't know. But you know what? They found that stable. They came, the Bible says, with haste. Can I ask you, are you responsive to God? Are you responsive to God? Are we willing to hear His voice and respond to Him? You say, God hasn't, revealed from heaven like this. He hasn't appeared to me with big light and glory and host of angels to tell me what I need to do. Well, maybe He hasn't, although He could. But He does love you. And He's given us His holy word, the Bible. All of the Old Testament scriptures, which are before Christ came, all the prophecies, all the things God told us, how He created the world, and all His working with the nation of Israel, and all that, and then the New Testament, these four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which tell us about Jesus and His life, and then the letters to the churches. To the epistles throughout the New Testament here, like Galatians, which we were in already, like Ephesians. And God's given us His holy word, and He's given us the book of Revelation, and He tells us that He's coming again. Are we responsive to His message? Do we care? Do we care what He's said? Are we God-fearing men and women? The shepherds were responsive. I want to take you to Hebrews again. We were there in chapter 11, but now we want to go to chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Notice verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." That refers to the Israelites when they were had left Egypt and they were journeying to the promised land, the land of Canaan, and they tempted the Lord. They tested the Lord in a bad way. I mean, they were difficult, unbelieving many times. And so this is what is referring to. So verse 7 again. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit, "saith, today," this is what the Holy Spirit said, "today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I'll tell you what, God wants us to be responsive. Jesus said, let's go there. I want to show it to you. Let's go to Matthew and chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Jesus is the one speaking and he's been teaching. And what he says here in verse 24 of Matthew, he says, "Wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine," and can you help me now? "And doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." And verse 27, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Jesus gives us this illustration of a wise man who builds his house on the rock, of a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The foolish man's house is going to be destroyed when the storm comes. Same storm hits the wise man's house, but it stands because it was had a good foundation. And Jesus uses this illustration to demonstrate the one who not only hears, but is a doer of my word, is that wise man. The foolish man heard, but he was not responsive to what God said. And so, we must be responsive. I can see the shepherds were responsive to God. They were responsive to God. And we can also see that they, thirdly, not only were they men who were conscious of God, not only were they responsive to God, but thirdly, they were willing to seek and find and then to tell others about the Lord. Back here in Luke chapter 2, Luke and chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it," verse 17, "they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." They made known abroad. "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned," how? "Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And so the shepherds were not afraid to tell others. They were telling people about what they saw, what they heard, what God said. And are we willing to serve God? Are we willing to tell others? You see, first of all, are you conscious of God? Are you conscious? God is at work in this world. God has not only created this world, but God is at work. He's calling sinners to repentance, to come to Him and be saved. More than anything, God wants sinners to be saved. He wants you to be adopted into His family. He wants to wash your sin away. He paid the price. Jesus gave His life so that you and I could be saved. Are you going to be responsive? Responsive to His call to come, to believe, to trust Jesus. Will you respond? As a saved person, are you going to be responsive to His word? To say, yes, Lord, to obey God. God does talk to us. God does reveal His will to those who seek Him. And are you willing to tell others, to bring others to the Savior? God has us in this world for a reason. God is at work, and He wants to work through us. He told His disciples in Matthew 4, verse 19, He said, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." If we are following Jesus, we are going to care about the souls of other people. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, how is it with you? This is a true story of these shepherds. This is a true story of the angels announcing this wonderful message. Have you embraced this message? Have you trusted Jesus? He is the Savior who came for all people. It is good news. Sinners can be saved. Have you recognized that you're a sinner? Have you come to Jesus? If you haven't, you can. Jesus came that we might have life. Are you willing to seek Him? The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Sin is the problem, but Christ is the answer. Trust Jesus today. For those who are saved, are we responsive to the Lord? Are we doing His will in this world? God wants to work in us and through us. How responsive are you? Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the example of the shepherds who received the message and who came with haste to see the wonderful thing that You'd revealed to them and then announced it far and wide. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity You've given us to draw near to You even this morning. Lord, I pray that You would have Your will and Your way in each person gathered here. I pray that whatever our need is, whatever the next step, whatever You're talking to us about, that we would be responsive, that we would respond with faith and submission and would say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will obey." If the need is salvation, that we would believe, that we would call upon the Lord to be saved. Lord, thank You for Your perfect plan of redemption. Thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for Your love for even the likes of us. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.